What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Hey, it's Pat Caputo along with the webmaster Evan Jenkins. Time for Bustin' Balls. And we look at drafts, we look at prospects, we look at the future. And obviously the Tigers draft was this week. That's a big week for us on Bustin' Balls because we go over the baseball draft like nobody ever. And at least not in this town. And the Tigers shocked, I think, a lot of people by taking Max Clark third overall. Didn't shock us because if you listen to our last podcast, Evan asked me, and I said, well, the ideal pick for the Tigers would be Max Clark. And I've talked about him for the last couple months for various reasons. But first of all, Evan, I do want to put the draft, baseball draft, in perspective before we get into Max Clark. Since 1905 was the first year it was implemented. In that time, they've had almost 60 drafts. I don't know what number this was, but it's getting pretty high. If you took a draft over the same period, starting in 1965, and the NFL had its first merged draft in 1967 between the AFL and the NFL, which is basically what it is now, there have been two Hall of Fame baseball players taken third overall. Two. In the NFL draft, third overall, there have been 16. So over a pretty big sample size, it tells you that there's an 8 times better chance that you're going to get a Hall of Famer at third overall in the NFL than what you're going to get in the baseball draft. I think that sometimes when it is not something that everybody, you know, follows the same way, and baseball is trying to get it that way after years of repressing actual information about its draft and who was taken, it gets put in the same category as the NFL draft, which is a huge, huge event, a national iconic, wonderful day where almost 20 million people will watch the coverage all day to see the selections. It's a very different, though, dynamic in the impact it's going to have ultimately and immediately. So putting the NFL draft comparables into the major league draft makes no sense. The two Hall of Famers, by the way, played many years ago. They were teammates. Paul Molitor, who played at the University of Minnesota, and Robin Yount.
Oh, I was going to guess Yount as the second one.
Oh, but were you?
Yeah, even – well, only because I saw your tweet. I was going to cheat. But even up until, just a couple years ago, 1-1 went into the Hall of Fame for the first time. I think that was Ken Griffey Jr., right? And then Chipper Jones followed that up.
Right. So, 1-1, it's kind of the same percentage. And I would guess if you went to 2, 3, 4, 5, and you might find more outliers a little bit in that top 10 than what you would find if you did similar studies of the NFL.
Sure.
So I'm to put that into perspective for people, and because sometimes they don't understand this whole process. There's a lot more movements that can happen. They don't draft a guy. He shows up at their facility. He practices with them in the offseason, shows up at training camp, and is in the lineup opening day. That doesn't happen. It's a process where you have to go through the minor leagues, and trying to judge college players with high school players are two different things. And I think there's a general perception that, oh, if you take a high school player, he's going to be behind the college player and not arrive in the major leagues as soon. Not really true if you get certain high school players. Yeah, so we flashed to this draft, and most of the narrative that I've taken in reading online, listening to various hosts at 97.1 The Ticket is, well, you're not going to see this guy for a long time. That's not necessarily true when it comes down to Max Clark. You want a comparable? I don't know if you even remember this guy. It's an old school guy, but he was very much involved in the book Moneyball, if you read the book. And he's 3 inches taller and much stronger, but he reminds me in his style of play. And he'll hit with more power probably ultimately. I'm pretty sure he will. I mean, much better athlete in a certain way, but his style of play reminds me of Lenny Dykstra. That's, oh, nice. I tried to come up with nails. Yeah, I tried to come up with a comparison of what this guy looks like. Now, Lenny Dykstra couldn't throw. Max Clark has pitched and thrown 97 miles an hour. Max Clark runs a sub 6'4" 60. That's close to world class speed. They grade him 70 and 80 on a scale. Rarely do you see a 70 runner. So if you pop him into the major leagues now, had him go from first to third, you would probably have somebody who was in the top 10 of base runners and maybe be right at the top. That's how fast he is. He could have been a star wide receiver. The fact he's from Indiana doesn't mean as much anymore because the training facilities up north are much better. You know, they practice inside. You know, they've got instructors for hitting, pitching, everything now. Somebody who's from suburban Indianapolis plays on a showcase tour. This guy's played against everybody of note, and he's just thrived. And he's just a very intense, athletic guy. Devin, if you go deep enough into looking at him and you see his body, okay, because he shows himself working out sometimes. I don't know if you've seen any of that. He looks like an NFL player. He's built like an NFL player already. This is a grown man. Okay. So it's a
kid that is taking his craft seriously.
Oh, very seriously, very intense. And he plays with a certain type of flair that is interesting and entertaining. He's the, you hope he's as good a player as like Alan Trammell, obviously a Hall of Famer. But he plays with an opposite way. Alan Trammell was very understated in the way that he played. Riley Green's a little understated in the way that he plays. Easy smile, easy going, and that this kid's, there's flair there. He can't help it. All right, when he makes a catch, everybody goes, ooh, it's something that's a little bit different. He's very charismatic, and they passed on Wyatt Langford. All right. And I sense, just talking to you a little bit, you wanted Wyatt Langford, didn't you?
So I did it first until I started looking, and I know I shouldn't do this, Pat, because it just defeats itself. But I've been looking at like successful players who have come up through the Tigers farm system. And it seems like lately they've been high school kids. So that's why I was completely okay with the high school kids.
Well, Riley Green was a fifth pick out of high school.
Well, yeah, and you look at Colt Keith, that I know he was a fifth-round guy. But, I mean, even, I think, wasn't Matt Manning? He was a pitcher out of high school. And
right.
See these guys come up.
Well, pitchers are different than hitters, so it's, different to quantify.
Sure. But I think that's why I was okay with the high school kid. And I'm also, I don't need them to be rushed up by any means. I don't need to see this player play in the Old English D tomorrow. I'm okay with the progression. 100%.
Well, his progression, I think, is going to be fast because he's a position player. I believe they'll sign him and they'll play him. So he'll make his debut this summer. It won't be like he shut down for the whole summer, which they would do if he were a college pitcher or even a high school pitcher, and you wouldn't see him play. So you'll see him play relatively early. His clock to get prepared will start soon. He'll, my guess is, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you about that. And just to clarify for anybody that may be confused by this, he is taking the contract. Like, he's not going to Vanderbilt, correct?
Well, no, there's no way he's going to pass up that amount of money.
Yeah, it's like $7.4 million, I think I saw, which was a lot for the fourth player, not the third player. So they got him a little bit cheaper, but he's not going to college. He's going straight to the pros, to the AKA show, the mini show.
Yeah, because if he went to Vanderbilt, he would be playing. And if he did well after 3 years, the amount of money he would get, even if he were the first overall pick, would be a minimal raise from what he's going to get now. Okay. And if he is really good, and he is, I think, he's got a chance to be in the major leagues and starting his service clock in the major leagues at 20 or 21. And that'll precipitate more than make up for whatever he's getting. So the chances of him not going to Vanderbilt are basically nil.
Okay. I just wanted to double check and to clarify that because, yeah, when you – so you mentioned him working out and stuff. So I wanted to go see his social media. This kid is already a pretty big star, Pat. He's got 355,000 followers on Instagram. That's kind of crazy for a high school baseball player.
Yeah, it is. You know, he's charismatic. And it was interesting draft for the Tigers from the standpoint that their first picks were all Northern States, position players. Traditionally, baseball, they'll take players from Michigan hoping they get big, strong, fresh arms. It's been a long time since the Midwest has had players that are taken, or even on the East Coast, out of high school that were position players. But that's changed. The second pick, McGonnelly, and I think I'm having trouble pronouncing his name, from suburban Philadelphia, Delco County. Stoney, who knows where that's at. Stoney's a Delco kid. Is somebody who is going to go to Auburn. Again, he's likely going to sign. He's going to get a big check, you know, that he's, you know, there's no way he's going to turn that down, I think. That's one of the reasons that you take somebody like Clark, save that extra $560,000, $70,000, and then sign a kid later. That's the whole thought process behind slotting things differently. He is a very good left-handed hitter, great swing. I mean, bat the ball skills look outstanding. Not anywhere near the type of athlete that Max Clark is. A couple inches shorter, runs okay, just okay. Projectable as a second baseman, I think, more than a shortstop ultimately. Once you're talking about Major League Baseball, and but somebody that if he were in the SEC, he'd probably be his perfect game numbers. You know, perfect game showcase circuit. He had incredibly good numbers against top line high school players, not just in his suburban Philly area, and big time program like Auburn wanted him, and you know, he was a good draft pick there, good value. A little torn on Max Anderson, who they took second from Nebraska in the second round. He is somebody that when he came out of high school was one of those guys who was like way down the list, you know, third best player maybe in Nebraska, which isn't like a high school baseball paradise. A skinny kid, you know, and he ran slow, you know, 60-yard dash times over 7. You know, and if you've ever seen baseball players run the 60-yard dash, and I've seen it multiple times when I covered instructional league, they line them up on an outfield, you know, grass, and have them run 60 yards. That's it. And I swear to you, Evan, like every one of those guys, they click the clock, 7 flat, 7 flat, 7 flat. And then when you get somebody that runs 6.8, which is like what they consider the major league average, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you can see the kids kind of get happy about that. You see somebody who rips out a 6.5 or something. It's special. He's below average with that. His speed is below average. He played second base. He was a shortstop like everybody else in high school, but he played second base. I don't see him as a major league second baseman. He's gotten big and strong. He's hit some home runs, and everything with Max Anderson, everything's going to be based on the hit tool. But yeah, it's going to be hard to find.
just this morning, Pat, and the knock on him was, I guess, they believed his power was going to decrease with a wooden bat because the percentage wasn't there for home runs to at bats or whatever it might have been with the aluminum. I don't know.
What it is the fly ball rate.
That's it. Okay.
You know, if you hit a bunch of fly ball home runs that don't have high exit velocity, that's a projection that if you use the wood bat, it wouldn't be
okay. The
same. And I don't, you want me to give my big speech about how colleges should be using wood bats and baseball should be supplementing it so they could scout kids like Mac Anderson better?
Well, I think I was actually going to ask that as the last question, but since you got into it, college sports are big money. Football teams bring in big money. Basketball teams bring in big money. I know the thing has always been they don't use wooden bats because it costs too much money. Well, what are we doing here? Because I think you're personally stunting your own players' chance of going to play professional sports. Like, could you imagine a basketball player using like a woman's ball in college or playing on a 9.5 foot rim and then going pro and having to use a 10 foot rim or a football? Well, football is a little bit smaller than a pro ball, but it's just so crazy to me that they use a completely different instrument to hit a baseball from one level to the other.
It goes back to baseball having its head buried in the sand. Baseball, like I said, I used to do Baseball America. I did it for like the first 20 years of my career. They had three cover stories, all this, but mostly it was covering the Tigers and their organization. Every other week I had to turn that thing in, including on my honeymoon, which was kind of weird. You know, called Tom Gamboa, you know, who appeared in Moneyball as Martinez the Scout. You know, on my honeymoon, like, hey, Tom, what's going on in the instructional league? I'm on my honeymoon in Montreal.
Yeah, sorry, but, honey. Some low-A ball player just got a double.
You know, so it's just totally ridiculous. The draft would come, and they would announce the first round. And this wasn't that long ago, Evan. I mean, not that long ago. I don't know the exact date they stopped doing this. But it was after I stopped doing the Baseball America stuff, I think, you know, which was like 2005. My last story was a cover story on Verlander after the Futures game at Comerica Park when I said I had enough of every other week for 20 years. It wasn't a high-paying gig, let me put it that way. But the situation with this, you know, is ridiculous. It is. They've always, nobody knows who are these, the college coaches. So the baseball people thought that they didn't want to give the colleges tips on players they were scouting. All right. Now, these days, you think about it, totally ridiculous. Yeah. You know, I've watched all these high school kids on I follow a number of different websites or services, and I can watch, you know, high school baseball till my, you know, head explodes. And watch these top prospects, in addition to every college game being basically on. One way or another. So in the process of this, they've lost what should be their feeder program. It should be like it is in the NFL. NFL doesn't have to have huge farm systems. They don't have any farm system.
No, they have one.
What is it? I don't know. What is their farm
system? I think it's just college football for
college NFL. Football.
That's it. It's the 120 some odd teams and get the hockey. Best of the best. Hockey. Well, hockey is the best one in my opinion.
Yeah, they got their cake and eat it too. They go to college and play, and then they put them in their farm system, and they have, well, Red Wings have two farm teams.
Yeah.
All right. And you know, that incorporates like 40 players or something. Not all the players that are in the Tigers farm system. NBA has done a great job with this. The Pistons in particular, got to give them credit. Having the G League right across the street from their practice facility is a very good thing.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, it is. And that will help them ultimately. Baseball.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at Bragworthy prices. at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Yeah, this, like, they'll spend $3 million to sign some, you know, half-ass infielder,
right?
Free agency, a team who'll play for the team maybe half the year. And then, you know, for $3 million, they could provide the whole thing, colleges with bats. Now, some would say there's a safety issue with wood bats because if they break, they can cause some problems. Don't give them cheap bats. Give them good bats.
Okay, well, it's a safety issue of that baseball coming off that aluminum bat as fast as it does.
Exactly. And they toned those aluminum bats down, but they're still like that. So it doesn't make any sense. It made it hard to project Spencer Torkelson. And they do have college leagues that use wood bats.
The Cape Cod leagues and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's one that's in the Midwest called the Northwoods League. And there's a team that plays with college players over in Royal Oak, Mark Sackett, whose father used to be a coach at Seahome.
Is that off of Woodward there?
Yeah, 13 mile. They finally, figured out a way to make a fence around the thing. I remember playing in the state tournament there. They had a fence that went straight across, and then there was no fence in right field because they have a softball field coming that way. But it's a very iconic place. They put field turf on it, and it's very nice. But that, if you look at these players, you'll look at if you go to Baseball Reference, you'll see their summer league stats, and it's very limited. It's impossible to really tell what they did. So, and a lot of times they don't hit with as much power, but you can say, well, he only had 50 at-bats or something in the Cape Cod League, or, some of the leagues out in California or the Northwoods League. So it's very difficult to project college hitters. Wyatt Langford, was a very good athlete in high school, all-around athlete, and came to Florida, top program, didn't play much, and developed into quite a hitter. But is he quite a hitter with a wood bat? And he's got pretty good tools, and he may end up being a big power guy. That's if they passed on him for Clark, and he ends up being a big power hitter, there'll be that comparison of, well, why did they take the high school kid? But it's not like it is in the NFL where you look at, hey, you know what? They passed on Aaron Donald. You know, and you're not going to know for a while.
No, and I mean, half the time, even if you go back and people are like, look at all these teams that didn't draft Mike Trout. Well, Trout went in the 20s, okay? Like, I mean, plenty of teams passed on Mike Trout. And not even did the Angels know that they were getting Mike Trout when they got Mike Trout. You know what I mean? So it's all a developmental thing. But I think that's personally why I love the sport of baseball, because it's seemingly like with some of these guys, like overnight, it just clicks for them, right? And it's so cool to see. Like, even like, you know, Riley Green, he gets hurt. He goes down. He goes to Toledo. He hits the cover off the baseball. Pat, you and I know Riley Green in AAA. He's probably a 400 hitter. The guy's phenomenal. But then he comes up to the bigs, and he's able to transfer that. And that's what we want to see. I mean, how has Colt Keith performed? I know he started off red hot, but how has he performed after the first couple games?
Oh, Colt Keith has just picked up where he left off.
It's amazing, Patty, right?
Hit a home run. And again, that's the idea of projectable slots. He was an outlier because he was in the 2022 draft.
And there was five rounds.
And the Tigers had an extra pick, and he was a sixth pick. And they signed him away from college for $538,000. That was all his bonus was.
It could have got me away from college for that kind of money.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it works.
I know, but he's going to make way more in the end game because of it. And the only reason I bring that up is because that's another high school kid who has not been rushed by any means. AJ Hinch has handled him with kid gloves, and I applaud him for it because there's no reason to rush him up right this second. Now, you know, 2 weeks from down the road, it might be a different story. But you see that progression with a high school kid just a couple years ago to understand that the coaching staff, it seems like they know how to handle these young men, and that's what I'm excited for.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they develop him, what they do. But I would say this about Max Clark, and is that I think he's fairly advanced. I don't think it's going to be a situation where they're going to have to retool his swing. Like when they got Matt Manning, for example, a pitch, they retooled everything that he was doing his first year in professional baseball. And then after he had success at Double A, because the way he pitches wasn't going to necessarily pitch up to the major leagues, they retooled again and had him stop throwing the ball on a downward angle, more on a straight angle to combat the upward swings that hitters are using now. And he's really gotten good at it, and they worked on his extension. Why is Matt Manning so good? Because his extension, you know, where he's throwing the ball is closer to the plate, where he's releasing it, and the travel time far less than other pitchers. He's in the top 3%, according to Baseball Savant. And look, it tells you he's thrown for shorter distance, basically. And that's why, and he's throwing on a flat plane. That's why his fastball will be like 94, but it'll be playing at 97, 98. And they tightened up his curveball. He used to have a big 12-6 breaking ball. I thought it was great. But the way it plays in the major leagues is different. They wanted something that was more controllable. And he can still drop that thing in there once in a while if he wants to use it. But it's very different, you know, how you play at the major leagues to how you play at the other levels. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that comes up in this particular situation. How does it project? And with Max Clark, I said this, I had him as a top position player on my board. I would, if I had the first pick and I were drafting for the Pirates, I would have taken Skeens in 2 seconds. All right. I couldn't have run up there fast enough because I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah. Kid's electric.
Well, it's freakish.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, you ever see the movie Jack Reacher?
Yeah.
Okay, not the ones with Tom Cruise, the ones with the guy that replaced him that's all muscled up and everything.
Yeah.
Alan, whatever his name is. Paul Skeens reminds me of him. You know, it's like, hey, you're going to come and beat me. I'm going to take out the first guy, the leader. Then I'm going to take out the next two. The other two are going to run. You know, with this dude, that's what he's like. He's a freak, a unicorn. you know, and he's got a fresh arm because he was a position player and all that. So I would have taken him, but I know it's not something that other people, you know, thought. And Cruz did go number two, but I would have taken Max Clark there. That's just, and I very well could be wrong just simply because it's the baseball draft. But the only thing I would say about the narrative coming from those who, hey, they're in a position where they're commenting about the Tigers draft and may not follow it like I do, and maybe some others, is that the idea that he's a high school kid, you know, is not true. The last third overall pick in the draft to have a career WAR above 20 was a high school kid. Do you know who that is? Since 2006.
2000, like
Alex Manny Breck. Machado.
Manny Machado. Good player. Manny.
Yeah. You know, career WAR 53. Eric Howe was a third overall pick. Doesn't have the greatest WAR. And Evan Longoria was a college kid who was a third overall pick. So if you go all the history of the third overall picks, there have been five or six players that have been really, really good major leaguers, you know, or Hall of Famers. I mentioned Yount and Molitor. Matt Williams was a college kid. He was very good. Troy Gloss had a pretty good career WAR. College kid, UCLA. Lonnie Smith was a very good player for many years. You know, notable for some of the things he did in Atlanta and Philly from back in the day. And you have Machado and, you know, Evan Longoria. So that's what you get. And then the rest of the players, you know, are pretty far down the list. I mean, there's a lot of players who didn't even play in the major leagues. And so it's not like some kind of given. There have been a few picks. Ian Anderson really helped Atlanta for a couple years there as a pitcher. He yep. was taken third overall, but he's, you know, like a lot of pitchers, he's kind of in the, oh, his arm is sore now. But they wouldn't have won as much as they did for a couple years there without him. Yeah, especially in the postseason. He was very good in the postseason. But that's the way the third overall pick goes in the draft. And also, just to look at a couple more players that are interesting here, taken by the Tigers before we go in here. Paul Wilson. I thought that was a very good pick by them, and hopefully, for your sake, they're able to sign him away from Oregon State, which is a top-line program. His father, Trevor Wilson, was a major league pitcher, so he's got the bloodlines. Interesting looking at him. He's tall, you know, a good 6'3", 6'4". A little loosey-goosey with his motion because he's a little bit taller and he's got a lot of arm angle, and his body hasn't developed yet. You know, it's he's big, but he's not going to be like he is after he trains as a man.
Right.
Okay. That's interesting. He commands the baseball. I think he could be somebody that could end up being a major league starter and certainly could be somebody who projects in the bullpen. But he's a lefty with a good arm. Good. Got great arm. I mean, he throws in the, you know, he hits the mid-90s. But I like him a lot, and he was very good. Pitches in Oregon. He should have a pretty fresh arm and a father who probably took care of the arm. Because he knew all the ins and outs in it.
Exactly.
And also, Carson Rucker is an interesting player. It wasn't out on the showcases, but by far the best player in the state of Tennessee, signed with Tennessee, which is a big-time program. And interesting, you know, looking at him. I mean, he's skinny. But big, it looks like he's going to fill out, play shortstop like a lot of these guys, runs well on the things that I was able to find on him. Again, but hasn't seen some of the top pitching, and it's going to be about the hit tool. Also in the eighth round, they took a pitcher named Diaz, who didn't even play high school baseball, came over from the Dominican Republic, but is, you know, eligible for the draft because he's in America.
Right.
And I guess he couldn't play on his high school team. You know, I watched the video of the Tigers talking about it. It was kind of interesting. But that pick right there, you know, that's like if he hits, that's like one of those ultimate baseball finds. And I did want to say something about the draft. Tarik Skubal was a 10th round pick who had Tommy John surgery, former top 50 prospect. Jason Foley, who was part of the combined no-hitter, He pitched at a school, I think it was called Sacred Heart College in New York State. And so I think it's an NAIA school, something like that, you know, like Rochester U or,
right,
you know, Lawrence Tech or something. Had an ERA of almost 5. Wasn't drafted and was signed by the Tigers after they scouted him, you know, playing, I guess you could call it sandlot baseball. And because he threw like 100 miles an hour and touched it on the gun. Look at what he is now. And look at all the things that he went through to get that way. You know, he's had arm injury, Tommy, I mean, all kinds of stuff. So that'll tell you something about the way this works. Bo Brisky, small school kid, electric arm.
Well, hell, look at Reese Olson, who wasn't performing very well at all in the minors, came up and he ended up playing pretty darn well.
Well, it's another example. And he's got and Wilmer Flores, who's kind of struggled a little bit and is figuring it out right now. He wasn't even taken in that 2020 draft, and he couldn't have been signed for more than 20,000. All right.
Yeah. Isn't that and crazy?
He juxtaposed it with big time college pitchers like Alex Lang, who went through living heck to become Alex Lang because he had a really, really bad year and they were looking to unload him and they just gave him to the Tigers when Tigers couldn't get anything for Nick Castellanos. And you look at somebody like Madden, who's a Double-A, struggling, you know, to try to figure it out after they changed his delivery from over the top to three quarters. He was a second round pick out of the University of Texas and a big time college pitcher. So it's not a process at all that goes in a linear fashion, Evan. It really isn't. It goes up and down and up and down. You remember Matt Miller, right?
Oh, yeah.
The pick from North Carolina, big, tall lefty, right? And they traded him in the Miggy deal, right? Andrew Miller. I'm sorry. I called him Matt Miller. Andrew Miller. My bad. So Andrew Miller, I'm sitting in the press box one day, and Toledo, for whatever reason, is playing their game at 10 o'clock in the morning. It was probably a Thursday or,
they Sunday. Do it every once in a while. It's weird.
Yeah, they play like at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they're playing Pawtucket. And this is just when the MILB app came up and the minor league baseball one. And you know me, man, I'm sitting there on this thing going, wow, man, this is like a kid in a candy store. I'm watching the Toledo game. And Andrew Miller's pitching for Pawtucket. He's walking guys. And I'm like, wow, man, Andrew Miller's like, you know, really flame out here. He's never going to be anything. Like 2 years later, he was able to pitch as there was in major league baseball.
Yeah, he was one of the best lefty relievers that you could bring out of the pen, period. Oh, what he did between for Cleveland that 1 year was unbelievable.
Couple years. And
yeah,
he changed a lot of the concern. He was like the first leverage guy where it didn't matter if you came out and closed. They put you in the situation, Cleveland, a very analytics-based organization.
Oh, yeah, remember in the World Series how criticized they were because how early they brought him into the game?
Yes. And, you know, but he was their best pitcher, and he put out fires, and he carried that team. He was as valuable as any pitcher in baseball, and he changed to a degree the way relievers are used because it wasn't just a theory. It was a theory applied. But a couple years before that, his career was basically done. So with baseball players, you got to kind of look at it that way a little bit more than people do.
Oh, and by the way, Pat, just to let you know, you nailed it. Wilmer Flores got $20,000.
Well, it's all you can get. He couldn't get any more than that.
Yeah, he got $20,000.
$20,000, yeah. After the players who weren't drafted, the most they could sign for that year was $20,000. So a lot of players kind of got messed up with that particular year. And it made it more difficult this year because it's 3 years down the road. The kids that are drafted out of college now,
yeah,
they were high school players, and a lot of their seasons got canceled then. So that's added to the complexity of this draft.
Well, like, for instance, you remember the name Mark Appel, or Appel, how would you say it?
Mark Appel.
So at first, in 2009, he was drafted by the Tigers in the 15th round. Then in 12, he went round to the Pirates, 8th overall. Then the following year, he went first overall to the Houston Astros, and he has pitched a combined 10 innings in his major league career.
Well, I've seen him pitch like in AAA games. I think a lot of people accuse Houston of taking players like that and then not wanting to sign them, and then trying to use their slot pool money on players later. And 1 year they actually – then they missed on Brady Aiken at first overall as well. That's another name. But the one player they took and everybody said, well, they're just doing that to underslot the value, and they're doing it again, was Carlos Correa.
Oh, I know. They ended up doing very well with their drafting. I'm just saying that's
a game. They were playing a game.
God, what was that other guy's name from the Yankees? Was it Jordan or something? He was
Brian Taylor.
He was supposed to be all world, and that guy never amounted to anything. And that just proves to your point even more of how big of a crapshoot it is.
Well, how about Matt Bush?
Yeah, the pitcher for the Rangers, right?
Yeah, he was taken in the first overall pick the year the Tigers took Justin Verlander second.
Yeah.
And then he had all these issues, you know, were off the field, drug issues, all these things. Well, it didn't look like this, and all of a sudden pops up as a key bullpen piece for years after he straightens out his act. Josh Hamilton.
Yeah, he's a prime. That's the one I was going to bring up. I mean, he flamed out so bad, came back and became one of the best baseball players in baseball. He was an MVP.
And the Tigers, and I knew Bill LaJoy, the general manager, very well back when I was covering the team. And people said, I talked to him for hours about things. But, you know, he had those drafts where he took Lou Whitaker in the fourth round, Jack Morris in the fifth round, Trammell in the first round, second round, but relatively late. It's like 28th pick overall. Lance Parrish, you know, all these great draft picks. But the 1 year the Tigers in that time frame had the second overall pick in the draft, they took a left-hander named Pat Underwood. So they got all these great players like Petrie, Parrish, all these other guys. Right. You know, in their first round pick was bad. And then they had a pick about that time named Kevin Richards from Wyandotte Roosevelt High School, I believe, that they took fifth overall. So they got all these guys later rounds that ended up being like Hall of Famers or borderline Hall of Famers and did all these things. And the two times that they had picks in the top five, they weren't guys that panned out.
Yeah, Underwood played four seasons for the Tigers.
Yeah, but look at his numbers. It was his brother Tom was a better pitcher.
He was, he never had a whip under 1.27.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he had arm issues, things like that. So what I'm telling you, the baseball draft has gotten more precise since then. It was still a relatively new thing.
Right.
And they didn't have all this technology to break it down. It was the old scout Smokey. You know, like that scout on the West Coast for the Tigers, this guy named Dick Wincik. You know, Fish, Trammell, Petrie, and he's the one who looked at Jack Morris pitching against Arizona State against the first overall pick in the draft, Lloyd Bannister, and came back and said he's better than Bannister. And Morris had an ERA of like 5 in college.
Oh, what a great sport, Pat. It really, really.
It's different. It's different. I always find it to be fascinating to look at it. I know to a lot of folks, it's like, you know, but hopefully with this podcast, we give you a little bit of insight on what's happening. So enjoyed it. And we'll talk to you next time. Don't forget to like us, download us on Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store, Odyssey.com. Check it out. I embed these in the columns that I write as well for 97.1 The Ticket. And the column on the Tigers. Don't forget to read my work here. I've been writing quite a bit here lately. So always enjoyed doing that, and always appreciate you very much, and appreciate you, Evan, very much. Thank you.
Hey, right back at you, Pat. I appreciate it, man.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Wow.
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAFGiving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.